gathered here this afternoon to remember a great man and remember him with much honor. When Bless asked me, informed me about this afternoon's memoriam and asked me if I could speak, I was thinking, I know there will be much said about his achievements, about what he has done for our country and our people, but I told her, I hope you don't mind, what I will be sharing or talking about are my personal insights into him as a great patriot, as a nationalist, as a leader, as a role model. Whatever age you are, he serves as a role model. And also the few times I had personal dealings with him. And so Bless said, yes, that's what I am exactly looking for. So I think it was destined in a way, and I am very privileged and honored then to share with you my insights into a great man. My late father, one of his pastimes was to keep clippings, you know, from the Philippine Free Press. I think it was shown in one of the videos, yung mga luma-luma na, 1960s, 70s, as well as Manila Bulletin, you know, those were the main newspapers at the time. So he kept those in folders or Manila, the brown Manila envelopes, and we had a steel filing cabinet beside his bed where he used to keep those files. So as a young girl, the youngest in the family, as a young girl, I grew up being curious about what those folders contain. So when I was a bit older, instead of the usual bedtime stories, sometimes he would take out a folder and would actually open them and talk to me about the contents. They were more about current events at that time, you know, the what's happening in the country and so on. So, but I was always curious because he had a thick folder. And when I began to know how to read, the label said Plaza Miranda, 1971. So I was always curious why he won't raise that with me, no? In one of the nights we had our discussions. But I remember my mom cautioned him not to discuss it with me or show it to me until I'm ready, until I'm a bit older, because the photos were graphic at the time. No? And so when I came up, I guess he thought I was already of such an age, I would understand. So he opened the folder and showed me the photos, and I was horrified because they showed how the, especially immediately after the bombing, on the stage, you can see the aftermath, the damage that was done, and there were images of those that were injured being taken away. And some of them, you can see the injuries to the legs and all that. And so I remember my father telling me that Jovito Salonga was actually the one who sustained the most injury, aside, of course, from the nine who died in the bombing. But he was the one who, amongst all those who were injured because of his proximity to the grenade that was thrown, he suffered the most injuries. So it is definitely a miracle that he survived. And in a way, reflecting on his life now, he survived for a reason. And I think the fact that he survived, we as a country and the people have also to be thankful for, because in his lifetime, because of surviving that incident, he was able to do great, number of things for our country. And so I remember also my father commenting that sadly, and that was in the late 70s, early 80s, so my father was saying that sadly, he trusted very few men in government, and one of them was Jovito Salonga. So that was my first At a very young age, that was my first introduction to him. I didn't know much about what he did, but I knew that his picture was always in the papers and all that. But I would remember my father saying that he's a man that he trusted, who is in position in government. So many years later, of course, I also grew up, and I was in high school when EDSA, the first EDSA People Power Revolution happened. I was in the province, I'm from Negros, so the events filtered through us mainly through media, especially television. And if you recall, if you had the same experience with me, he was in most of those images. Sila Ramos, you know, and everyone else, and of course, Jovito Salonga. So that to me, that reinforced his image and his character and his place in our country's history. That he was a quiet man, but with very big achievements. And he was always at the forefront of many significant events, milestones in our country's history, especially at points when we were changing the direction or course of our history. Then many years later, I was already at the DFA. I worked at the office of the secretary. I was assigned to several offices, and one of them was the office of the secretary. And I had a few dealings with him over the phone because he called up a few times requesting some assistance with regards to his documents. So I remember him saying, you know, Iha, I know all of you are very busy there and I wouldn't want to disturb you. No, but it's just that I need help, you know. And he would explain, a man of his stature. By that time, he was retired, of course, but everyone knew him. And I would tell him, of course, no problem, Senator. You know, it's not a problem. And then what I always remember about him, which I also mentioned to Bless, is that he would call himself, and when I call the residents, because he gave us his house number, in case we need to call him back, he himself answered the phone. So that one time when one of my staff had to relay something to him, I told her, oh, by the way, please be prepared, he's the one answering the phone himself, not someone else. So when I mentioned that to Bless, and I think that was confirmed by many officials whose videos were shown before this, that he is really a very humble man. Very simple, very humble, stayed rooted to the ground, and despite all the things that he has achieved, he remained approachable. And in our few dealings over the phone, I could really say, parang tatay, no? Mahinahon, you know, he had the tone, even the tone of his voice and all that, I will always remember. I think the last time, so when all his documents were done, they were ready, I said, well, Senator, we could send it to you. He said, no, I will be going to Manila anyway, so we will drop by and we will pick it up. So he went to the DFA, I just went down, he was in the car in the driveway, I handed him his documents. That was the last time I saw him. And on hindsight, well, I feel very privileged, brief as they were, our conversations were, brief as they were, I'm very thankful that I had that occasion to remember him by personally, because of what we talked about. And also I had to be thankful to my father as well for really pointing him out as a man of integrity and as a model. And I think as A person who's a public servant, a civil servant, he serves as a model as well. He displays a lot of, he displayed many virtues which made him trust him as a politician and as a leader. So as a public servant, there are so many ways by which he can also be emulated, because he is an example of someone who was always upheld the rule of law